But we also have a fear in the churches of Christ. And that fear is of false teaching. Let me explain something to you that you may not realize. Language changes. For example, in East Tennessee, I came across a church. They have an interesting language in East Tennessee. If for example, they somebody says, well, Patrick, would you like to go out to lunch tomorrow? And I go, well, fine. Do you want to just pick me up at the hotel? And they say, well, I don't care to means I'll pick you up. I don't care to means I don't mind doing it. But you have to learn that in East Tennessee. By the way, they also go overseas to Albania and Romania and teach people English using the Bible. I am not making this up. They use the World English Institute, which I really love that group, the WEI. They use that. And so every so often when you're in Romania and you hear somebody going, I heard that. It's a brother in Christ right there. Well, in the Bible, it talks about some people doing false teaching and being false teachers. And in churches of Christ, we've had this idea. What that means is any imperfection in doctrine is a false teaching. That is not what the scripture says. In the scripture, a false teacher is somebody who is teaching to get sex, money, and power. There is not a disagreement on doctrine. You and I disagree on doctrine. I disagree with my wife on doctrine. I disagree with God on doctrine. I'm just not aware of it. But I know when I get up to heaven and I see and I know all things, I'm going to be going, oh dear, I said that in public, did I? Oh, all right, fair enough. Friends, can I just, this is a step away from the notes, which I've not actually used, but I have carried them with me dutifully throughout these times. I want you, if nothing else, to relax and be free as you tell people about Jesus Christ. My son, go ahead if you wish, but you applaud him. My son, when he was a little boy, we lived in West Virginia for 8 years. That's where I got the accent and all. And he came up to me and he goes, Dad, I want to play baseball. And I said, why? It was an honest question, you know, because to me, baseball just was something to do with scratching and spitting. I wasn't really sure what happened in it. And he goes, well, I want to play. I said, son, I can't teach you baseball. And he goes, I know. I said, what about cricket? I said, nothing ever happens, but you get cucumber sandwiches, and they're very nice. And he said, no, I want to play baseball, and the county is forming little teams, and so they were. So I said, sure, why not? So they put him on a team. Now, this wasn't a little league team. This was a, they dream one day of making the little league team league. It was the attention deficit disorder league. That's what it was. Because the kids never really understood what was going on, much less the rules. And as soon as a shiny gum wrapper went across the outfield, they lost half the team right there. One day, my son got up to take his turn at bat. And it's only fair to say there was not a great air of anticipation in the crowd. Whenever the pitching machine, bloop, here comes a squishy ball, 45-degree arc. And as it comes, it brushes him on the arm. He just looks at it, and they say, Duncan, you get to go to first base. And everybody came out of the dugout, because nobody had ever seen anybody make that trip before. That was an amazing adventure he is on now. Well, not being very fast learners, they didn't adjust the machine at all. So the next boy gets up, and bloop. Well, you get to go to first base. Well, he and Duncan are visiting for a while, and then they say, no, Duncan, you actually get to go to the next one now, and so he goes to second base, and you go, hey, Dad, I'm far. And I'm, yes, you are. They can see our house from here. No, that's not ours, son. I mean, it was still good. Well, they adjusted the machine. But the third boy gets up terrified. He had just seen two of his comrades go down in battle. And he knew he was going to die, and his mom and dad were shoving him out there. He'd always had that suspicion that they could live without him. So he stands up just shaking, visibly shaking, bloop, and he didn't wait for it, he just drops into the fetal position, holding the bat over his head. The ball hits the bat. rolls forward about 6 inches. This is a hit. Pandemonium breaks out. People are running. Some kid ran from the outfield to the stands to ask his mom and dad what to do next. And could he have a snow cone? The coach is having an embolism, yelling at Duncan, run to home base. And Duncan, God bless him, he does, right across the pitcher's mound. I'm there to meet him, and I grab him, and I hug him, and I swing him around, and I set him down, and I say, that was brilliant. They weren't expecting that. Well, all through that season, I don't think that my son got a hit or caught a ball or even knew what was going on most of the time. But he was brilliant because he was mine. And when the day of judgment comes, I am not going to be judged on how perfect I am in doctrine or how pristine I am in doctrine or how well I am accepted by others in my religious tribe. I will be accepted by God, and I am accepted by God. I am more saved than I need to be because I am His son.